Hi guys, welcome back. We are live from Nashville, Tennessee for my 51st birthday.
New Year's Day.
And it's been very interesting, I can say to the least. We are at Loser's Bar right now.
In the heart of Music Row on Division Street, right next to Winner's Bar, which is so funny.
So yeah, like... After this podcast, we'll probably go to Winner's Bar to see if we can find some winners, but that's probably not going to happen. So I'm just saying, this is going to be a very interesting podcast. This is just going to be about bottom feeders and what truly that means. I have a lot of intellect on that because I was with a bottom feeder, but we will totally tell you what it's about.
We're going to dive into that. But again, from Loser's Bar in Nashville, in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee, on Music Row, the famous, you know, history of country music. Gosh, we've been down to Broadway. We went to the Nash Bash with Dierks Bentley, Lady Antebellum.
That was such a great New Year's Eve. Fireworks. Walked our asses off.
In the mud.
My feet hurt. I'm old, but it was fun. It was fun.
Well, you know, here's the thing is like back in the day, I think we would go rush the stage. We want to be up at the front of the stage. And like now, like, oh, let's just hang back. I don't want to get squashed at the front of the stage.
I don't want to get stampeded by a bunch of fucking idiots.
I don't want to get stampeded. So that was like, I think like when we get in our 50s, we like finally realized like, yeah, we're going to stand towards the back. Closer to the beer tent.
But the weather really has been good. But like today, it's been all tornado warnings all day long. Like, yeah. So we're going to sit in this little tiny bar with it raining and shoot our podcast.
There we go. So, yeah, it's been fun. You know, back in 2012, I told Stephanie, like, I almost moved here, had high hopes of like being
That's the end of my drink.
That's the end of the drink. Nashville's such a great city. You know, back in 2012, I wanted to move here, be in production management for live entertainment. Kind of had all these hopes and dreams of being the girl behind the rock show or the girl behind the country show. And, you know, just it doesn't necessarily pay that well, but boy, did it sound fun. And coming back here just
I would have totally been your assistant and we would have had a hell of a fucking time.
Oh gosh. But I think it's like coming back here just brings back some of those like dreams and memories and nothing better than live music. And
but I need to ask you, last night, what was your experience last night, Beth?
Let's just say taxi ride from hell. It was we left the concert and couldn't get even an Uber signal to save our life. No cell signal or anything.
No, we jumped in a fucking taxi and he fucking danced his fucking trashy minivan with fucking Christmas lights in it to Sweat Running Down My Balls. Like, I thought we were going to die.
We did think we were going to die.
Oh my God.
It was
nuts.
It was crazy. It was touch and go for a while. I mean,
if you get on my Facebook, you can see the video. It was horrible.
It was fun.
It was fun, but yes.
Luckily, it was only a 10-minute Uber, 10-minute taxi cab ride and made it back to our hotel.
It seemed like
safe.
A lifetime.
It did seem like a lifetime in the traffic. But
I thought the last thing I was ever going to do in my life was seeing sweat running down my balls with my best friend next to me on my 51st birthday.
So here's the thing. So coming to Nashville, for anybody who has or hasn't been here, obviously, you know, home of country music, lots of really excellent, excellent live music. We've been to, went down to Broadway, went to the stage, went to one of my all-time favorite bars is on Printer's Alley, the Boogie Blues.
That was great.
That's anybody, high recommendation, go to Boogie Blues on Printer's Alley. You will not be disappointed. It was a $10 cover, but it was well worth it. Not to say that none of the other live acts on Broadway aren't great. They are fabulous musicians, but you get a chance, go to Boogie Blues, the stage. I mean, all of the country stars have their own little bars. We did pop into Blake Shelton's Old Red. They were pretty good. Yeah. That band was really good.
I like it that they have an upstairs and a downstairs, because the upstairs was more, it wasn't so much country. And Downstairs was
Yeah,
country.
That band was a little more rock.
Kinda. And they were cute.
They were cute.
They were cuties.
We got some eye candy.
Because you know what? Seriously, since we've been here, the only guys that we have, like, have really wanted to, like,
talk to or
mingle with us are, like, the 30-year-olds. I don't even get that. Like, why would a guy, that's going to be another episode, but why would a 30-year-old want to mingle with 50-year-olds?
Well, it's because the 50-year-olds are here with their wives or girlfriends, but the 30-year-olds are here with other guys, and they're more inclined to sit and chat with.
And the guy that I just talked to just here in this bar sat there and said the 30-year-olds want to mingle with the 50-year-old women because 50-year-old women are mature, have their shit together, they know what they want, they know how to have fucking sex. And they said the 30-year-old girls or 20-year-old girls are immature, don't know what they want, and drive them fucking crazy. That's what I got from the guy. I wish they were still here because we just had a group of boys. I called them boys.
They are boys.
They are boys. But we just had a group of boys here, and they like totally explained what their insights.
Yeah, but I also think too that the 30-year-old guys, they have a little bit more they have some insights. I'm not going to say intellect. I don't know. They have intellect. They have a lot of insight into the dating world. Either like the one guy, 33, he's already been divorced. The other guy's still just kind of playing the field. The one guy, I mean,
he's fucking three married women.
He's fucking three married women. So I mean, it's all over the map. Isn't
like,
it?
Why are you fucking three married women?
It's crazy.
I mean, if you got it. Shoot your shot.
Yeah. Like, but that's the thing is the 50-year-old guy, I don't know. We're going to talk about this here in a little bit.
That will be another episode of why young men like older women. Because I get that a lot. Like, we get it a lot.
I think we've attracted, and I'm not blowing smoke up my ass, but I mean, it just seems like two pretty girls on a girls' trip for a vacation. We seem to be attracting the 30-year-old guys kind of just, you know, randomly coming up to us and talking and
like the guys
having conversation and not with any intentions except for the Lebanese oncologist that we ran into on Printer's Alley who
loves me already.
Yeah, he's already in love with Stephanie, but they were nice. I mean, they were nice. so nice guys.
I'm not putting down any
culture, it could have been ours, but
I mean, seriously, he walked up to me in that alley like he knew me his whole entire life.
They were very outgoing,
very nice.
Yeah, they were
very
outgoing.
Cute. He fucking smelled awesome.
They looked professional. They had suit jackets on.
Yeah,
and
super cute.
Yeah, so that was fun.
So I just wanted to set him up with my daughter because
he doesn't want your daughter. No, just easy.
He doesn't want my daughter. I don't understand. So that is how our days have been going. And we are going to discuss here soon in a few minutes about bottom feeder men and what that all entails.
So again, live from Nashville, Losers Bar, You Can't Make This Shit Up podcast, hosted currently on Anchor, Google, Spotify. We are also recently on Breaker Audio, Stitcher, and CastBox. Still waiting to get posted to Apple if you are listening to any of your podcasts on Apple. Not on iHeartRadio yet. I said that last time, but we are not on iHeartRadio yet. Again, You Can't Make This Shit Up podcast. Listen, follow, subscribe. We're trying to get our listener count up. We'll post our links on Facebook. And welcome. We're glad to have you here and stay tuned. Thanks, ladies. Hello and welcome back, ladies. Today, as we said, we're going to be talking about bottom feeders, those sludge suckers, mid-level bass, trophy bass, those guys, those men who are not your men. identifying those traits and actions of these guys. Again, they can be ex-husbands, they can be ex-boyfriends,
ex-fox,
ex-hookups. Oh, and as I said, the men who are not your men, they definitely can fall into this category.
Absolutely.
And so Stephanie's got really a nice list going on.
As usual.
It's so fun because we think of these things. Maybe we're sitting here having a glass of wine. We're out at happy hour.
We shouldn't have that many glasses of wine.
We think of all these things and we start making a list in our phone. And then next thing you know, the list explodes. So we're going to try and dial this down a little bit and really...
Or dial it up.
Dial it up and really focus on this bottom feeder, sludge sucker, mid-level bass, trophy bass mindset of these men. So again, thanks for listening to the podcast. You Can't Make This Shit Up. Sponsored right now on Anchor, Google, Breaker. We've got a couple other ones.
And we have our Instagram now.
And we have an Instagram now, Beth and Steph 2021.
And look us up. Because we're cute. And smart.
And we have experience. And so
unfortunately.
So we're gonna just talk about bottom feeders today. So
you want to hear?
We do.
Okay. I have a list, and yes, we said we're not going to go by scripts, but yeah, I have jotted some shit down because I'm never going to remember it. So really a bottom feeder analogy is a fish that feeds from the bottom, feeding off the sludge analogy, one that feeds low on the food chain, scavengers, nasty whores, and no life goals. That's really a human, but that's really what a bottom feeder does. The definition of a bottom feeder mentality is, in other words, a total lack of responsibility to provide for oneself or has no life goals, relies heavily upon friends, neighbors, family to live for over a year, supposedly getting their shit together. I don't know why it takes longer than a year or over a year to get your shit together, but you know, sometimes you're slow learners.
They're slow learners.
And I'm not trying to put people down. Like, really, sometimes in your 50s, I don't know why you're such a slow learner, but maybe it's fun. I don't know.
You know, but I blossomed late. I can understand maybe guys are blossoming late. It took me 3 marriages to realize that, yeah, maybe I wasn't marriage material, but I thought it might be a good idea just like to get married and play house. But
I mean, played house and had kids.
She just played house. Stephanie played house.
I just like the sex part of it, obviously. Or anyone, really. I mean, it could be anyone. Anyone could do it. Any age, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever. Get your fucking life together. Well, like my ex that lives vicariously, living through his friends because actually they have homes, children, lives, life goals, other than bars, gambling, and drinking every single night and finding a bed at whatever girl's house he can lay his head on.
But there's also the guy who...
While messaging me, still calling me a whore. And just admit it so we can move on forward. What? Like, why would you just want to admit, yeah, I fucked somebody. Yeah. Let's get back together.
But there's also...
fucked everybody. Let's get back together.
But there's also the guy who he has a house, but yet he needs a woman to help him pay the bills. So he
can go put it in a poker machine?
Well... I mean, he's got a decent job. It's an okay job, but he's living well beyond his means. So I think, you know, still he's kind of a bottom feeder. Then the fact that he is looking for someone to help him pay his bills, he's not looking for a relationship for the right reasons. He's looking for it for what it can do for him monetarily.
All I can say is I totally wish I would have been the whore. At least I would have been having some fun with the misery of living with a narcissistic gaslighter. But that's another episode. I mean, what the fuck? And I did learn from our last trailer of our podcast that I do say fuck a lot. So I'm going to try to dial it down.
Hey, we gave a forewarning. It's
I know,
okay.
But I all cuss right. a lot, and it's really not ladylike. I don't do it at work. I don't do it around my grandkids. Okay, so moving forward, a person having low status or value, bottom feeders hanging out in seedy fucking bars, a person who appeals to basic instincts. One thing for sure is that all bottom feeders have a wide streak of misery in their lives. They are really miserable. Like, they're miserable in their own skin, and they don't even realize it.
And they low self-esteem.
Yes. But there is a saying, misery loves company. And I was the fucking company. And I should not have been the company.
I've been the company before.
The company. Don't be the company. Run. Don't be the company. So, from what I have researched, there are three types of goals to look for in men. To decipher what you need and what you don't need in finding a quality man and what the expectations should be. Okay, so now I'm just going to read like the three types really of men, and they kind of coincide with what a fish kind of is. So all you fishermen out there, fucking listen up.
If there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of fishermen.
Go on the dating apps, and I think every profile, like every other profile, has a guy holding up a fish. Is that really?
Or the guy that has neck tattoos.
Really? Dude, is that the only picture that you have of yourself, is you holding a fish?
Yeah, don't do that. Just FYI, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. It's not attractive. The fish is more attractive than you fucking are. You got a big fish. Cool. Awesome. He's got a big fish. Maybe not always. They do not always have a big fish, ladies. Okay. Bottom feeder. Definitely not what you need or what you should want. They just tell you everything. They literally just tell you everything you want to hear for the time being.
But they lure you.
They lure
you in very strategically.
Oh, they walk into the bar or walk into whatever, wherever you're at. Like, they are some white collar guy. They got their shit together. They drive $70,000 trucks.
They have a good facade.
And they don't have it fucking together at all.
They have a good facade.
A very good facade. Run as fast as you fucking can. They will suck the life out of you mentally, financially, physically, and emotionally. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, because I'm not perfect. Like,
none of us are.
None of us are. There's only one perfect person. Only one. Okay. Mid-level basses. A man that takes responsibility, emotionally mature, aware of how to validate your feelings. You always want somebody to validate your feelings. I mean, yes, we can all be emotionally fucking train wrecks and cry and be like, boo-hoo-hoo, fucking love me no matter what I fucking do. Okay, just give us a minute. We'll be over it in like 10 minutes. They show empathy, owns up to their mistakes, and yes, everyone makes mistakes. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. Not what I'm implying at all. Has little flaws that can absolutely live with. I mean, literally, if Rip from Yellowstone left his fucking towels on the floor, I would probably pick him up for him. I'm just saying. If he didn't take the fucking garbage out. But you know what? Get over it. If they forget your anniversary, then that's where
that's a problem.
That's a problem.
Birthdays, anniversaries,
yeah.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
Christmas.
If they don't pick up their clothes in the bedroom or hang up the wet towels in the bathroom but didn't forget to come home all night, you can tell the difference of what you can pick and choose from. Or tell you he was talking with other girls on Facebook trying to hook up. That's, you know, that's something that's unforgivable too. So you got to pick your battles. Pick your battles. Well, I catfished my ex, and that's a whole nother episode. So you don't really want to catfish anybody. Okay, so on to trophy basses. This is like, he's not a perfect guy, but he's willing to recognize and accept adult responsibilities. He has healthy boundaries. He has meaning to his life and goals. Again, not a perfect person, because no one's perfect. You know, like, get married one day, actually want a life with the person they love, not tell you everything you want to hear and plan life goals just to shut you up.
I think too, the goals issue is important, especially in our 50s, that we're on the other side of our careers. We're closer to retirement. The goals meaning, what are we going to do in our retirement years? So if you're in your 50s, you're looking at retirement at between, you know, 62, 65. Do you want to stay around in the same area you're at? Do you want to move to Florida? What are your retirement goals? And I think in their 50s, we definitely are looking for a guy, a man who is thinking that, who is putting forth some effort and thinking that through. And it doesn't have to be a solid plan. I just think it needs, it's a topic that you definitely need to talk about when you're going into a dating relationship with a man in his 50s, because, you know, he's going to have grandkids. He's thinking about retirement. He's got that 401k going. He's got a pension, whether he's white collar or blue collar. It doesn't
and it's
matter.
Not all about who has the most money. It's about right. just wanting to do the right thing with the right person. If they really are in a relationship with you and they love you and they tell you they love you for 8 years and they just continue to say, oh, I love you, love you, love
right.
you. But they don't,
they don't have a plan. They don't have anything beyond just the I love you part.
No, they don't have a plan. They don't have a life goal. They just say they have a life goal. Words are just words.
Right.
Actions are actions.
Right. Actions speak louder than words.
Yes, they do. So anyway, so
we were talking about trophy bass.
Yes.
Again, he's a guy who has goals.
He's a solid man who qualifies to be a stand-up guy.
Right.
Yeah.
He may not have the most money, but he's got goals and he's got ambition and motivation towards the latter career, you know, latter part of his career.
Right. So now I should take my own advice on this probably.
Well, that was not a preface.
The last three fucking guys I have dated, talked to, or went out with, none of them have a home. Okay. You have nothing. Literally, first one lives at his brother's. Second one lives at his mother's. Third one lives on the fucking road in a hotel.
Hey, I've dated the guy who lives in a semi truck. So I mean, that'll be another episode.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't have a problem with a guy.
I gotta lift the bar.
Well, we do have to lift the bar.
You have to lift the bar. You have to have some self confidence. And I don't know if I lack self confidence or I just look at, man, he's fucking hot. So,
well, no, I don't think it's that. I think it's the guy, he puts on a big, great facade of what he thinks he is, or maybe what he aspires to be. And he's portrayed himself to you and put all those clues out there that he's got himself together. He's got a, you know, good job, a nice vehicle. But well, when his character really gets down to the nuts and bolts, the character does not align with what you're hearing. And ladies,
or they don't have any nuts and bolts and they're fucking
their brain is full of nuts and bolts.
There's fucking screws loose.
There's screws. No,
the screws are fucking gone. They fell out and they're gone.
I think it's just a matter of reading those early, early signs.
Okay, what's the early sign when they walk up to you in a bar and say, let me build you a big, beautiful fucking home?
Well, maybe it's the meeting in a bar
and then they come live at your house.
Maybe that meeting in a bar is not the best option. Hey, we've all been there. We have all met the guy in the bar who he seems like a great guy. He asks for your phone number. He buys you a drink.
He sings karaoke.
Yeah,
and he sucks.
You know, he says, "Oh, you're so beautiful.
You're the best thing in the fucking world."
Yeah. So
let me go fuck everything else.
Well,
you know,
I don't. It's.
Oh, I was gonna quit saying.
It's not that.
I'm so gonna quit saying F. Seriously. I'm such a trash talker.
So tell me a little, kind of let's wrap up this bottom feeder. Again, ladies, okay, we talked about the bottom feeders, the sludge suckers, the mid-level bass, the trophy bass.
Well, yes.
The men who suffer from the self-esteem.
And I look back,
we've all had those guys. They've been ex-boyfriends, ex-husbands, the men who are not your men. They don't have,
they don't have substance.
They don't have the substance and the goals and the motivation. And it's not about the money,
and
honestly.
And it's sad. No, they should literally get help. They should really seek out help.
I encourage it.
Like, seriously, if you have no future goals other than where you can lay your head and how much alcohol you can drink and how much money you can win on a machine... Not saying anybody at all names.
Right.
But seriously, like, you should get help and want to have a future, because if you make
money, you go to work, and you thrive at your job to do nothing with it.
Right. There's a lot of successful men. There's a lot of successful men in the professional world, but it doesn't mean that their personal life is of that same profession or same. They're not. They may be professional and secure at work and confident at work, but it doesn't mean that their personal life follows those same values.
And it could go the same way for women. I mean, it could so go for women too. Like, there's women out there that are probably the same as these men.
Right. But I do think that men in the in our age group, as obviously this podcast is about, is men in the 50s. It does run the gamut. It runs from these bottom feeders, these sludge suckers who have no goals and ambition and motivation, to we want the trophy bass. We want to set the standard and the bar a little bit higher and strive for a quality man with character and values and motivation and some goals. And right. Again, set the goal. The goals don't have to be, I'm going to retire in $1 million home on the beachfront.
It can be a $30,000 home with a decent person.
Right.
You don't have to have hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right. But I think there's always those guys who's like, well, I'll do that when I make more money. I'll do that. I'll set some goals when I get to this.
Or I'll set the goals when the grass is greener on the other side. You know what, guys? The grass is not always greener on the other side.
Exactly.
They literally, I've had it. You're the greatest. Blah, 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 blah. And then as we're planning our fucking wedding, you're talking to other girls on Facebook. That is not somebody that is dedicated to you, that wants to live a life with you, that wants to marry you.
That's a guy who just can't wrap his head around settling down and zeroing in on goals.
No. And I'm a pretty fucking good girl. I'm just saying. But I look back at my dating through the years and I have no idea what the fuck I was thinking, or should say not thinking. Like, I probably wasn't thinking half the time.
Yeah, but don't, we can't beat ourselves up either.
I know, but from crackheads, white collar narcissists, jobless men that I thought I could fix, you can never fix a man. You should never have to fix a man. Always looking for the bad boys that really just were bad. They're really fucking bad. Don't look for the bad boys because they're bad. There's a saying that I love, though. There's one saying that I really do love.
What's that?
Women, you are not a rehabilitation center for badly raised men. It is not your job to fix him, change him, parent him, or raise him. You want a partner, not a project.
I love it.
Yes. And I really encourage all the women listeners to email us, comments, anything, because we will totally add it on our podcast. We'll take it into consideration.
We have so many episodes, I think, too, just like a lot of topics that we're going to dive into. This is just one of them. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Again, we're hosted on Anchor, also featured on Google Podcasts, Breaker Audio, Stitcher, CastBox. In the future, we'll be posted on Apple. It's kind of in the mix right now. Yeah. We have a Instagram, Beth and Steph. What is our Instagram?
It's Beth and Steph 2021.
Beth Steph 2021, yeah. Not Beth and Steph. Beth Steph 2021. So we'll be adding like from our personal Instagram pages, we're going to start adding people. That way you can hear or read about our future episodes, when they're going to be posted. Again, we're just kind of diving into.
And we want to hear all of your comments, all of your input about our podcast. If it strikes you and you've been through it, you should totally email us. Like, and we thank all of our supporters and we love you all. And next week, really, I think we should dive into spreading COVID with love. Because I have a huge, episode.
We have a good story to unpack.
Oh, yeah. Spreading COVID with love. And no, I didn't spread COVID to anybody. But yes, spreading COVID with love.
Again, thanks for listening to You Can't Make This Shit Up podcast. Again, hosted on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Breaker.
Get a glass of wine.
CastBox. Follow us on Instagram, follow our podcast on Anchor, follow, subscribe, listen, and share. Thanks for listening to You Can't Make This Shit Up.
Bye. Thanks, girls. Love you.